I want to talk to you this morning on the joy of forgiveness. If you would take your Bibles and open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 32 is where we'll be today, the joy of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but my heart is filled with joy when I can gather together with God's people. I don't know, I'm just happy and joyful, you know, and just that I can gather with people. And I thank the Lord daily that I'm not the man that I used to be, but I'm a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just fills my heart. And I love to get with God's people and we sing praises and worship the Lord and how that thrills your heart. I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing these notes that one time Cindy and I was down in Jacksonville at a pastor's conference, and the church on Sunday morning had around 10,000 people in it. But on Monday was the pastors and their wives and the Christian workers that came. And there was a little over 5,000 of us at that conference. And when you get 5,000 pastors and their wives and Christian workers singing glory to the Lord, believe me, you might think you're in heaven. And I just stood there and heard the singing of sincere voices of people that love Jesus and love the Lord and want to share his gospel. And I just stood there and just started weeping that day. And I thought, I was just so overcome with the joy that I have in the fact that I've been forgiven of my sins. And that's a joy that we should express all the time as we're gathered together. People need to see the church as the group of people that are with the most joy. We shouldn't be unhappy. We should have a smile on our face no matter what is going on in our lives because of the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 32, David shares with us his joy. And he also shares with us how we can have that joy in Psalm 32. So look at with me if you would, Psalm 32, follow along as I read. David writes these words. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And blessed is the man whom God does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit." He said, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near you. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they would not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." There's verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I thank you that you're hearing us with us right now in our presence. I thank you, Father, for the joy and the peace that we can have in our hearts this morning as we know we've been forgiven of our sins. And Father, as we examine what David has to say to us, I pray that it would just challenge us, Father, to not only to continue to rejoice in our relationship with you, but share that message with others so that they can have the joy that we have in our hearts. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the background of Psalm 32 and Psalm 31 was David's sin with Bathsheba, his unsuccessful attempt to hide it, and his confession and God's forgiveness, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Psalm 32 is believed to be written by David confessing his sin of adultery after he had confessed his sin of adultery and murder and deception. They believe that Psalm 32 was actually written after Psalm 51. Now, I don't really know if that is true or not, but that's what the historians would tell us. But it's important to understand that in Psalm 51, did David confess his sin before the Lord? that David vowed to share what he had learned from his costly experience of living in sin. And this psalm is part of the fulfillment of that promise. In Psalm 51 and 13, it says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." In other words, David says, "Lord, if you will forgive me, and all that I've experienced because I've lived in sin, I'm going to teach others of your grace, of your mercy, of the way that you forgive them." And he says, "The sinner will be converted to you." David saw the need to share the wonderful message of forgiveness. And just like David, all of us who have received forgiveness of our sins, we need to share with others that wonderful words of the gospel. We need to share the message of the gospel with others. We all know that sin is harmful, and we can see the effects of sin all around us. But we're sitting here today, and we also know that God forgives. But we need to know, we know that God forgives. And so we have that responsibility today of being like David and sharing the wonderful news of forgiveness. David shares with us some key insights about the cleansing experience of those who seek God's forgiveness and who then is who live in the light of that forgiveness. He speaks to us about having his heart cleansed. Dr. Wiersbe writes, "In this psalm, David shared four basic facts about sin and forgiveness that need to be understood by every believer." And there's things here in this psalm that we need to know. We need to be reminded of. We need to understand. Although David opens this song with a shout of praise, his experience here leading up this song began with silence. You know the story. For almost a year, David had tried to hide his sin to avoid facing the consequences. But I think it's remarkable as David begins this song, he doesn't begin giving us a whole list of his sin. That's not how he's gathered together with the people of the Lord, and he's gathered together with the congregation, and he brings this message to them, and he launches out into a song of praise to everyone. He begins to praise and worship the Lord. He wants the people to rejoice in the Lord. He contrasts here in this psalm about being forgiven with the weight of unconfessed sins. And as you look at verses 1 and verse 2, you read that little phrase, "How blessed," or "How joyful is the man." When you see that repetition there, it emphasizes that the subject that David is going to describe in this passage of Scripture is that forgiveness truly leads to joy. Forgiveness truly leads to happiness in the life of a believer. We should be the most joyful people in all the world. Just a little side note here, folks. When we gather together on Sunday morning or at other times, it's important that we express that joy that we have in the Lord. And I get excited every Sunday morning as everybody's running around shaking their hands and talking. And, you know, this morning in Sunday school, you know, Brother Jerry was trying to get the attention of the class, you know, and everybody's still talking and fellowshipping with one another. Brother, you got to get that Marine Corps voice, I'm telling you, you know, that's it, you got to get it, you know. But how blessed it is when we get together like that and we rejoice and we fellowship with one another. And people need to see that when we come into the house of the Lord. Now, David here in our text, he gives us four different nouns here for sin and then three verbs to describe what God has done with our sin. Now, so let's listen to it. Here's what he says about our sin and what God has done for you. First of all, verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven." Now, here, David here is going to make this contrast. The word transgression here means a rebellion, to step over a boundary, to cross a line, is what that word transgression means. And I would venture to say that all of us know what it means to cross the line when we were, especially me, when we were growing up. My brother is a year and 6 days older than me, and we fought like cat and dogs. I guess that's what siblings are supposed to do. I don't know. But we'd be down in the barn fighting with one another, yelling at one another, whatever it might be. And we'd hear this voice, "All right, boys, I've had enough. One more word, and you know what's going to happen." So you knew that you were on the line. And you didn't cross that line. The boundary had been set up, you know. And that's what that word of transgression means. It means to cross the boundary, across the line. And God has set up, folks, ordained limits in our behavior and the things that we're supposed to do for our good, for our society. And when we go against those limits, David says, I have transgressed. In other words, I'm refusing to be subject to God's authority in my life. I would say a very simple definition of transgression is rebellion against the clear commands of the Lord. In our Bible study a couple of weeks ago, looking at the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer, we talked about the will of the Lord. We talked about God's sovereign will, but then we also talked about God's revealed will. For in God's word, God gives us an outline of everything that we need to know to live a life of holiness and godliness. It's all right there. He's already established the boundaries. He's established the line in the sand of whatever you might want to call it. And transgressions is when we make that decision, well, I'm going to cross that line, I don't care. But notice what David says. David says, here's the sin, it's transgression, you've crossed the line, but look at God's grace. He says, you have been forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven. That's the verb. The word forgive literally means this, to lift it up, to lift up and bear away. It means to carry off or take a burden away. And so David says, you know, I crossed the line with Bathsheba. He says, but God lifted my sin from me, and he no longer remembers that sin. And that's what God has done for you. You have crossed the line somewhere, and we do it every day. We cross that line, but God in Jesus Christ has lifted that sin from us and lifted that burden and taken it away. The illustration that David's given here would be very familiar to the people that were listening to him, because it's the illustration, of the scapegoat. If you remember the Old Testament there, the priest would take and put the blood on the goat, and he would lay his hands on the goat, and then he would confess the sins of Israel to him, and then they would lead the goat out into the wilderness, never to be seen anymore. It was symbolic of God taking our sins away. But Jesus Christ, folks, Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross has lifted our sins from us, and he has carried them away, never to be remembered anymore. And David says, how blessed is the man. How blessed is the man that knows he has crossed the line, but yet he also knows that God has lifted the sin away. How blessed is the man. He goes on to use that word sin. That word sin carries the idea of missing the mark. We know that. It speaks of a bent or broken arrow that cannot fly straight. I was talking to Ted this morning. I told him, I said, you know, we used to do a lot of trap shooting and shooting bow and arrows. And I think every arrow I ever bought was bent, because it never hit the target the way it was supposed to. Are you okay? But sin here, missing the mark, it's a picture of defect. In our relationship with the Lord, the target is complete obedience. That's the target. If you have a relationship with the Lord, the target that you're aiming for is complete obedience to the Lord and a close, intimate relationship or fellowship with him. But because of sin, we miss the mark. But David reminds us of God's grace. He says that our sins, he said, whose sins is covered. He refers to the joy of our sins being covered. In the Old Testament, the word referred to the mountains being covered in the flood. It means to conceal, to put out of sight. In other words, when God covers our sins, when we confess them to him, they're hidden from sight, never to be seen again. Matter of fact, Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions. When you think of the covering of your sin, folks, it's a compelling picture of forgiveness. For when something is covered, it is hidden from view, no longer to be considered. And so God puts sin out of his sight, which means he never will bring it up again. There'll never be a time when God will say, Greg, you remember what you did when you were 17? Greg, did you remember what you did when you were in the Marine Corps? He'll never say that to me, ever again. You know why? Because he can't see it. It's covered. It's covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said this. David said, how blessed is the man. How blessed is the man to know that his sins are covered. And then he uses another verb there in verse 2. He says, the Lord does not impute iniquity. Of course, that word iniquity means to be twisted or crooked. It means corruption. It brings to mind that something is warped or distorted, and it refers to our very nature. And we know because of the fall, that's the way our nature is. It's warped, it's distorted. But David said, look at the grace of God. He says, the Lord does not impute iniquity. Now, that word impute is very important there, because it's a bookkeeping term. In other words, it's a record. It's a record of all the things that somebody did. In other words, in David's day, if somebody you owed somebody money, they would have a tablet and they would put there, you owe me this, you owe me 14 goats or whatever it might be. But when you paid that debt off, that was erased, so that tablet could be used for somebody else. And that's the picture David is giving to us. In other words, your spiritual bankruptcy is not going to be held over your head. There's no charge. I mean, before I got saved, you could open the book, and I'm sure it was very thick, you know, with all the list of all the things. But you open the book on Greg Weigel today, and guess what? The pages are blank. They're blank. What charges are you going to put against him? There is no charges. He's been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Weary says, when we confess our sins, God conceals a debt that is no longer on the books. Our hearts are cleansed. We're free from deceit. Our hearts can be free from spiritual deception, and we can be open and honest with the Lord. And David says, how blessed is the man. How blessed is the man that knows there's no charges against him. And so David here describes happiness and blessedness as a heart that is clean, forgiven, honest before the Lord. He had experienced the depths of sin and the heights of the grace of God, and he's telling us that true happiness, true joy, is going to be found in knowing that your sins, all their defilement, all their ugliness, all the judgment that is associated with them, is gone forever. How blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. But he doesn't stop there. He wants to remind us the dangers of refusing to confess our sins or to ignore our sins. That's in verse number 3 and 4. God will bring judgment or chastisement into our lives. And David here in those two verses tells his own story here. But before I get to that, I want to remind you of this. Charles Spurgeon said this: God does not permit his children to sin successfully. If you're a child of God, God's not going to let you get away with it. Dr. Wiersbe says, the Lord chastens David for almost a year, made him miserable until he stopped lying, humbled himself before God, and confessed his sins, and God will do the same to us. God will bring some things in our lives to get our attention. Notice what David said. He said, when I kept silent, and I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. He says, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle and my body wasted away. That term there, brittle or wasted away, refers to becoming old and wearing out. Now, some of us can relate to that, you know, being wore out a little bit. But David was saying that he became a physical wreck. He was about 50 years old when all of this happened, and he began to disobey the Lord. He would not confess his sin, and God was judging him. And his body lived in constant pain, he said, groaning all day and all night. He says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength, vitality was drained from me. David knew. David knew because of his relationship with the Lord, and he knew that he had sinned, and he knew because he had not confessed his sin that God's hand was upon him. I read this statement and said, David felt God's presence, and the feeling was not pleasant, because David knew that his sin had broken his fellowship with the Lord. Isaiah 59:2 says this: listen, church, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Why are we surprised, church? Why are we surprised when we decided consciously to commit sin and live in some type of a sin? Why are we surprised when we suffer for that? We know that God cannot look us on sin. We know that God can't ignore sin. Why do we wait? David was blessed because of God's grace. And he shares with us here, folks, the pattern here that we must go through. You know, he shares with us what happens to us when we seek to hide sin. God is your loving Heavenly Father. Don't forget that. He is your loving Heavenly Father that provides forgiveness of our sins, but also because he loves you, he disciplines you as his children if you decide to live in sin. But his discipline is proof that he loves you, that we're genuinely his children. I don't know about you, but people who know and love God are not happy when they sin. You just can't be happy. You can't have the joy that we're talking about being in Christ when you know there's sin in your life. Sin brings sorrow, it brings regret, it brings guilt. And even worse than that, it breaks your fellowship with God the Father. And such suffering should cause us to confess and repent of our sins and regain our fellowship with the Lord. And so David begins this psalm by sharing with the church his joy. How much joy he has because his sins are forgiven. He says, but this was my life before I confessed my sin. I was living in misery. And then as you get to verse number 5, he says, now church, he says, I want to give you some counsel. If you don't have the joy that you're supposed to have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy that I had, how blessed is the man, he says it 3 times. This is what you need to do. And so let's look at it, church, verse number 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Folks, if you're not experiencing that joy, then it's come time for us to make a confession. To make a confession to the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, I acknowledged my sin. I acknowledged my sin to you. And when we think about confession of sin, we must acknowledge our sins to the Lord. That simply means this, to admit your sin. Whether you have a problem with gossip, maybe there's a problem that you have with anger, maybe it's complaining about things. I can do a pretty good job of complaining, you know. Maybe it's a lack of obedience, whatever it might be. It could be even something simple. I pray every morning, Lord, you know, help me not miss the opportunities that you give to me. And we were up and we spent the night in the Poconos on our vacation. And I got up the next morning. I'm out there cleaning my window, you know, because my windshield became the bug collector during the day. And so I'm cleaning the window, right? And the lady's in the car alongside me. She said, hey, there's a window over here. And I said, yeah. And I got in my truck and I thought, Lord, forgive me. This was an opportunity to do something for somebody in the name of the Lord. I mean, you might think that's simple, but to me, God had opened an opportunity for me to clean a windshield. I had the rods and everything right in my hand. You know, I could have done that. And maybe she would have asked me, why did you do that? And I could have shared Christ. But I got in the truck and I told Cindy, I said, Cindy, I missed an opportunity today. I really missed an opportunity. And I asked God to forgive me because he had given me an opportunity. I don't know what the sin might be. You know, usually when we think of sin, we think of this, you know, we think of adultery, we think of robbing people, we think of murdering people. There's all kind of sin in our lives that we might call it the little things. Anything that caused us to go over the boundary line. I wish I could remember Dr. Stanley's quote this morning because it was really good, you know. I'm not going to butcher it, so I'm not going to say it. But anything, folks, just simply admit your sin. Don't hide it. Why do we think we can hide something from God? Doesn't he know everything? Doesn't he see everything? Why do we think we can hide it? Well, God really didn't see me do that, you know. Or God didn't know I was thinking about that. Yes, he does. Just simply confess your sins. And notice what David says. You know, he said, boy, I'm rejoicing now, but my life was miserable for a whole year there. He said, so I decided just to come clean with God and tell him everything. And notice what he says in verse 5, and when I did, look at God's response, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God responded positively to David's confession. He says, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David opened his heart to the Lord in transparent honesty and held nothing back. And God did not deny him forgiveness. God, folks, is ready to forgive when we confess our sins. And so after months of emotional, spiritual, and physical suffering, David confessed, was reconciled to God, and the breakthrough was immediately. If you read Psalm 51, you'll hear David say this. He says to God, he says, please restore the joy of my salvation. David was a man after God's own heart. He had fallen into sin, but he was still a child of the living God. But because he fell into sin, that joy had left him. And he says in Psalm 51, restore the joy of my salvation. And here he says, I confess to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity. And what did he say in the first four verses? Blessed is the man. He didn't have to do penance. He didn't have to go on probation. All he had to do was sincerely confess his sin, and the Lord forgave him. Why do we wait? Why do we take so long to ask for forgiveness? Why do so many people think they have to clean up their lives first? I don't know how many people I've talked to about they used to come to church and something happened, they could come to the church, and so I talk to them. You know, I see them out in the road there, out the store or something, or talk to them on the phone, and they say, Pastor, we just got a few things we've got to clean up first. No, you don't. You can't clean up. Do you understand? You cannot clean up your life on your own. It's impossible. You're a fallen person, a creature. Why wait? Why not come back right like you are? Let God do the cleansing. Come to the Lord the way you are. Simply confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you. David says there in verse number 6, notice what he says, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in the time when you can be found. David says, church, don't forget this. Don't forget it. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. I thought for sure I'd get things right today. I saw there was a video, you know. It's my goal one of these days, you know. And I know I'm not perfect. And so my day should start out in prayer. David says, church, while you can, open up your heart and pray. Pray to the Lord. In verses 6 down through verse 9 there, David shares with him. He said, you know, I rejoice and I praise the Lord. Why? My sins are forgiven. How blessed is the man. This was my life for a long period of time, over a year. I suffered because of my sin. But when I came to God and I just simply confessed and I came clean, God forgave me immediately. And he said, now, he said, God is my divine protector. If you look in verse number 6, he says, surely the flood of great waters, they shall not come near me. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me. Remember verse 4, what did David say? David complained that God's hand was oppressive on him. But not now. God was now his hiding place. Whereas he feared God as his judge, now he took refuge in him as his protector. And I love what the Bible says, that he says, and now I am surrounded with the songs of deliverance. Oh, praise the Lord. Instead of worrying about God judging you to do this, that, you know, what's going to happen, you know, once you confess that sin, he says, God is your protector, and you're surrounded with songs. We went to church up in Lancaster Sunday, and they sang three songs that I'd never heard before, and it was a small praise band and stuff, and they did I thought, wow, what a message was in those songs. I wish I could remember them, you know, but I had never heard them before. But they were just worshiping and praising the Lord. And the music itself just ministered to my heart before the pastor ever got up and started preaching. That's what David is saying. I don't have to fear him anymore. I don't have to fear God's judgment. He's forgiven me, and he has surrounded me with songs of worship and praise. He is my divine preservation. In other words, okay, I'm going to face troubles. There's not a perfect world out there. I'm going to face troubles. But I know that he will strengthen me, and he will hold me, and he will guide me through it. But I really like verse number 8. Notice what it says. David is saying this. This is God. I will instruct you and teach you in your ways. I will guide you with my eyes. Folks, understand this. When we come clean before the God and we confess, he is our divine protector. He preserves us. But think about this. David said in the early part of that verse to pray. You can speak to God, and God speaks to you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Think about that. He has promised to give us guidance and direction. It's through his word and through the Holy Spirit. And he tells David, there, he says, I will guide you. He says, my eye will be upon you. And I looked that up, and it means, it implies extreme closeness. In other words, God's right there with you. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells right inside you right now. And God says, I will teach you. I will guide you. God orders your steps each and every day. He already knows what you will face tomorrow if he doesn't come back today. And he, through his word and through the leading of his spirit, will guide you in those steps tomorrow. Praise God. Once God forgives us of our past sins, folks, he will show us the path we go on. David does give us a warning there in verse number 9. He says not to be stubborn. Now, I'm a little offended that he talked about the mule. I think the mule is a fascinating creature, but we'll let that go, you know. But he says here, you know, not to be stubborn, folks. You know, a stubborn old mule or a horse, they got to be broke to be brought into obedience. God would rather bless you than break you, if I can say it that way. Dr. Wiersbe says, like a horse, David rushed ahead. Like a mule, he was stubborn and tried to cover his sin. And the only way to control animals is to break them and harness them. But God did not want to do that to his beloved servant, David. Instead, he would teach him his word and keep his eyes upon him, surrounding him with his mercy. God wants you to experience his mercy. God doesn't want to have to bring judgment down and chastise us because we're his children living in rebellion. No, God wants to bless us. He wants to grant his mercy to us. And so David said, you know, I'm here, I'm praising and worshiping the Lord today. Why? Because what my life used to be is now transformed simply because I acknowledged my sin before the Lord and he forgave me. And now he is my divine protector. Now he preserves me through my troubles and trials. And he speaks to me daily. And in verse 10, 11, he says, is his final words. He reminds those in the congregation that day that were sitting there listening to him that day. He reminds them that those who refuse to walk with the Lord shall have sorrows. And times have not changed. But those who submit to him and walk with God shall have joy, peace, and blessings. Folks, when we confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness, he takes away our guilt, verse 5. He protects us, verse 7. He guides us, verse number 8. He surrounds us with the joy of deliverance, verse number 7. And faithful love in verse number 8. So when David joined this assembly at the sanctuary of God, he began his song with a joyful announcement that God has forgiven him. When we come in this place every Sunday morning or when we gather together, we should start our day personally, and then we come together shouting and praising the Lord for the forgiveness that he has given to us. He closes the psalm. Notice how he closes the psalm by exhorting other worshipers to join in the celebration in the Lord. Notice what he says there. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Be glad in the Lord. All those who were reconciled to the Lord, walking in his way, David says, join with me in the joy and the praise and the worship of the Lord. And so he shared with us the joy, the blessing that comes from confessing our sins and living in the Lord's forgiveness. Folks, it's so foolish to hang on to sin in our lives. It's only going to result in discipline. It's only going to result in sorrow. And God has appointed the way for us to be reconciled to him. And it's all through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment we make that confession, our lives will be totally changed. We are secure in the Father's hands, as Jesus said in John chapter 10. And like David, because we are saved, we shout for joy. We shout for joy for the forgiveness of our sins. So I don't know about you, but I love to gather with the family of God. I love to rejoice in his forgiveness. When we go on vacations, I like to visit other churches. I like to see other people and the way they're worshiping and praising the Lord. I just like being with God's people. And so I would encourage you this morning to be shouting and praising the Lord all day long. You know why? He doesn't see your sin anymore. He's forgiven you. He's adopted you in his family. Ephesians chapter 1. And like David, I want to just end this way. The joy of forgiveness. How blessed is the man. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that God has given you and me. Right here now, this day. Don't worry about tomorrow, this day. Let's go out of here rejoicing in the Lord and be glad in what he has given us. Let's pray.